fam. If you have your Bibles, fam, I'm going to invite you to turn with me once again to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, but we're not going to continue where we left off last Sunday. We're going to take a pause from that continual study in Mark, and we're actually going to be in chapter 1, and we're only going to be looking at three verses this afternoon. We're going to be looking at verses 29 through 31. This morning, I had the opportunity to minister to our Spanish congregation, and I shared with them a message from Mark chapter 1, and the Lord put it in my heart to also share it at the 3 p.m. service. And so we're going to be in chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 29 through 31. And so if you have it with me, you can let me know by saying amen. Amen. And we'll read it together as a family. Mark chapter 1, let's begin in verse 29, and we'll read all the way down to verse 31. And this is what the word says. And immediately he, speaking of Jesus, left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and he took her by the hand and he lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. And we'll end right there. This is the word of the Lord, and all of God's people declares amen. Amen. By saying amen, you agree with me that what we just read indeed is the word of the Lord. This afternoon, fam, I've titled my message simply, The Mother-in-Law of Peter. The Mother-in-Law of Peter. As many of you know, approximately 9 years ago, when I was 25 years old, my beloved mother died. She passed away from cancer, from pancreatic cancer. And I'll be honest with you, even though a good amount of years have already passed since her passing, the truth is I still miss her very much, and I still love her very much. My love actually for her has only grown throughout the years. She was a very special woman. She was a very special person to my life, to my family, to this church. She was the greatest mom a kid could ever have asked for. And she was full of grace. She was full of mercy, full of wisdom, full of love. She was very, very special. I had a very special mother, and to this day, I miss her, and I love her. And I'll be honest with you, I still go through difficult days. I still pass through difficult times, especially during the holidays. For example, Christmas is always very hard for me because my mom, since I was young, since I can remember, she always made Christmas very special in my household. And so Christmas is always hard. Thanksgiving is always very difficult to this day. My mom was an amazing cook, an amazing baker. And man, she would always go all out on Christmas and on Thanksgiving. And it's hard. Birthdays are the worst days, to be honest, at least for me, because I miss my mom. I miss her love, her hugs, her kisses, her birthday cards with the birthday money. I miss her, and those are hard days. Those are difficult times. However, I'll be honest with you, and I was talking about this a little earlier with somebody. Even though all those holidays are hard and difficult, the truth is, for me, I can't talk about my brother or sister, but for me, Mother's Day is actually not that hard for me. You would think that Mother's Day would be the most difficult day because my mom is no longer here, but the truth is, I actually enjoy Mother's Day. And the reason why I enjoy Mother's Day, because it gives me an opportunity to reflect upon my mom. I enjoy thinking about my mom and reflecting about her, and I enjoy talking about her and preaching about her like I am right now. I enjoy thinking about her love, her impact, her influence that she had on my life. And so of all the holidays, actually Mother's Day is the easiest for me. I love talking about my mom. I love preaching. I love teaching on the importance of the mother. I love exhorting moms to continue the good work, to keep on going, even though it's hard and difficult at times. And so really that's what I want to do this afternoon. I want to take a small pause from our normal study through Mark, and I want to share with you a special message for Mother's Day. And what I want to do is I want to focus on this text here in Mark chapter 1, and I want to talk about the mother-in-law of Peter. And let me just pause and say this. Praise God for mother-in-laws. I don't know if you have a mother-in-law. At times, mother-in-laws get a bad rap. A lot of times people, instead of saying mother-in-law, they call her like the outlaw instead of the in-laws. But I'll be honest, man, I have an amazing mother-in-law. I love my mother-in-law, and praise God for mother-in-laws. Praise God for my mother-in-law. I can't talk about your mother-in-law, but praise God for my mother-in-law. You know, typically when you think of mothers in the Bible, special godly mothers who God used, typically you always think of the same group. If you're familiar with the Bible, you think of the mother of Samuel there in the Old Testament. You think of the mother of Samson, not Tony's son, but the Samson of the book of Judges. You think of the mother of John the Baptist. You think of especially the mother, the earthly mother of the Lord Jesus, Mary. Typically, when you think of mothers, you think of that core popular group. But most definitely, you don't think about the mother-in-law of Peter. I'll be honest with you, I have never heard a message, or I have never read a book about Peter's mother-in-law. You know, I remember once, this is a true story, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm actually, to be honest, I'm not that funny when I preach, but I guess today I'm just on, right? But true story, when I was in Bible college, one of my good friends came up to me one day and he asked me, "Do you want to hear a joke?" And so right away I said, "Amen, yeah, I'm down to hear a joke." And so he continued, he asked me the question, "Why did Peter deny Jesus? Why did Peter deny Jesus three times?" And I said, "I don't know why." You know, I was trying to think about it all theologically, and I was trying to get all deep. And I remember he responded, "Well, because Jesus healed his mother-in-law." And a lot of times, you know, it sounds funny, but a lot of times, that's all we hear about Peter's mother-in-law. You know, we just hear jokes, and we hear, you know, the outlaw instead of the mother-in-law. A lot of times, that's the attitude, that's the mentality about Peter's mother-in-law in the church. But the truth is, as we're going to see this afternoon, Peter loved his mother-in-law. She was special. She was impactful. She was a powerful servant of the Lord. And we can learn so much from her story and from her testimony. She has a powerful testimony. We don't know her name. We don't know too many details about her life or her story. But the little that the Holy Spirit gives us, it's powerful, impactful, and we can learn so much from her. And so this afternoon, I want to do something a little different. And instead of preaching on Proverbs 31, which mostly every pastor does on Mother's Day, I want to talk a little bit about Peter's mother-in-law. And I want to share with you a few things that we learn from her story. And so let's begin here in Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. And quickly and briefly, I'm not going to be too long this afternoon. I want to share with you three things that we learn here from our text. Let's allow the Bible to speak to us this afternoon. The first thing I want you to notice with me is the care for Peter's mother-in-law. The care, or we would say the provision of Peter's mother-in-law. Let's read verses 29 and 30 again. They're in Mark 1. Look with me there in your Bibles. There we read, and immediately he, speaking of Jesus, left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever. And look at this last section of verse 30. And immediately they, speaking of the family, speaking of Peter and his family, immediately they told Jesus about her. And let's pause right there. And so the first thing I want to share with you from our text is what I have titled the care or the provision of Peter's mother-in-law. We would say Peter's care, Peter's provision, Peter's concern for his mother-in-law. In verse 29, our text begins with Mark telling us that after Jesus left the synagogue, he entered the house of Simon and Andrew. Now, Simon is another name for Peter. He was known as Simon, and then he met Jesus, and Jesus changed his name. And the idea there is Jesus changed his name because Jesus was going to change his life. And so no longer would he be known as Simon, but he would be known as Peter. And so the idea here is Jesus enters the house of Peter. Now, the Gospels teach us that Peter lived in a city called Capernaum. And this was actually a city that was near the Sea of Galilee, the northern part of Israel. And the Gospels teach us that during Jesus' ministry in that part of Israel, literally Peter's house was the headquarters for Jesus' ministry. Remember, Jesus didn't have his own house. Jesus literally tells us that he didn't even have a place to lay down his head. And so Jesus, during his Galilean ministry, he used Peter's house as his own house. To such a degree that literally in the Gospels we learn that Peter's house became known as Jesus' house. Jesus used it so much. Jesus was so welcomed. He was so received in Peter's house that eventually it turned into Jesus' house. And as quickly, let me just say this to the side. We need to take Jesus home. And we need to receive Jesus in our house. And we need to welcome Jesus in our homes. Our homes, like Peter's homes, needs to turn into the house of Jesus. And this is what I mean. This is what I'm trying to say. Praise God for church. And praise God that we're all here and we're worshiping the Lord, we're singing to him, we're praying, we're studying the Bible. Praise God for that. But listen, it's more than just a service, though. You need more than just one service a week. But you need to take Jesus home. You need to leave this place. And as you return home, you need to make sure that Jesus is going with you. You need to make sure that, hey, you're not just coming to meet Jesus at church, but you're taking Jesus home with you. Because that's what matters. What matters is what do I do Monday through Saturday? Praise God for church, and we need church. Church is a very important part of the Christian walk, the Christian life. But I'm only at church a few services a week. What about the rest of the week? What am I doing during that time? What role does Jesus have in my life when I'm not at church? What's What's Jesus' role in my home? Is Jesus welcomed in my home? Is Jesus being taught in my home? Is Jesus being preached in my home? Is Jesus being sought after in my home? Am I talking to my children about Jesus? Am I honoring Jesus at my house? Is Jesus welcomed in my home? Listen, we need to take Jesus home with us. Jesus wants to spend every day with you. And he wants to start at your home, at your house. And I can say this from experience. I can say this from all my life. A house where Jesus is welcome is a blessed house. That's a blessed house. If your house is in chaos right now, if your house is always in an uproar, if there's always difficulties, problems, if there's always confrontation and anger in your house, it's probably because Jesus is not in that house. It's probably because Jesus is not the head of the house. It's probably because you left Jesus at church. Because a house that Jesus is Lord, a house that Jesus is head over, that's a blessed house. That's a peaceful house. That's a house filled with peace. A house filled with love. A house filled with respect. That's a house that there's no cursing. There's no alcohol. There's no father coming home drunk and doing crazy things. That's not a house that Jesus is in, but a house where Jesus is Lord, man, that's a blessed house. And that's the kind of house that you want to raise your children in. That's what you want for your children. You know, everybody says, because we mean it, man, I want the best for my children. Listen, the best for our children at the end of the day is not some crazy expensive Nikes or it's not a great education. It's Jesus. That's the best for our children. It's a house where Jesus is Lord. It's our children being raised where Jesus is glorified. And you need to welcome Jesus in your house. And listen, Jesus is knocking on the door of your house. Even right now, he's knocking on your heart. He's saying, hey, let me in. Let me in, man. Open the door. I can help you. I can change. I can transform this. Let me in. He's knocking on the door of your house, pleading with you. Let me in. And so Jesus, he enters the house of Peter. And notice in verse 30, immediately we're introduced to Peter's mother-in-law. Now remember, Mark is writing this gospel, and really Mark got all his information from Peter. Mark was the spiritual son of Peter, and really Peter's authority, his apostolic authority, is over this gospel. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, but Mark, everyone agrees, received from Peter the testimony, the record of Jesus. And so immediately we're introduced to Peter's mother-in-law. And we're actually told that she was ill. She was sick with a fever. And so Mark tells us that immediately the family approaches Jesus. I believe Peter's probably leading the way. And they tell Jesus about the mother-in-law. And really, the idea there is with urgency, with speed, with worry, with great anxiety, anxiously, urgently, they present this petition to Jesus. Now, and I say this with all respect, but the truth is the truth, amen? In spite of what the Roman Catholic Church says, Peter was married. Peter was married. 1 Corinthians 9:5 teaches us that Peter was married. And even at the time Paul was writing 1 Corinthians, Peter's wife was alive. And many believe that even Peter had children. And so Peter most definitely was married. And according to this passage, his mother-in-law, the wife, the mother of his wife, lived with him. Now, many believe that probably what happened is the father-in-law passed away. The husband passed away. So he was no longer alive. And because he was no longer alive, he was no longer able to provide or take care of the mother-in-law. And so Peter, really the picture here is Peter. Peter receives his mother-in-law. And he takes responsibility of her. That's really the picture we get here. What you should see here for this first point is Peter loves his mother-in-law. She's important to his life. She's important to his family. She had a very important role in the house. And Peter takes care of her. Peter provides for her. Peter protects her. Peter loves her. Peter is concerned about her. And she's sick. And so the first thing that Peter does is he runs to Jesus and he asks Jesus to heal her because he loves his mother-in-law. And so the first thing we see here and the first thing we learn about this mother-in-law is that she was loved. She was loved. Peter loved and Peter took care of his mother-in-law. She had an important role in this family. She was the mom, you might say. She was the grandma. She had a very special role, a special place in this house. And Peter and all of his family loved her. She was loved. She was special. And they all were concerned about her because they loved her so much. And that's the first thing we learn. In my opinion, let me give you now some application. In a house, in a home, there's nobody like mom. How many would say amen to that? There's nobody like mom. Oh, the mom, she has the most important role in any house. She's really what makes a house a home. She's special. She's important. She's precious. We would say that the mom is the foundation of the house, the home. The mom is the heart of the family. The mom is really the life, the heartbeat of the household. And there's nobody like mom. You know, praise God for dad, and I'm a dad. Praise God for dad. Praise God for grandpa and grandma. Praise God for all the tios and the tias, the uncles and the aunts. But hey, let's be honest. There's nobody like mom, amen? There's nobody like mom. Mom is special. Mom is mom. And there would be none of us if there wasn't for a mom. Amen? There's nobody like mom. And so the exhortation is, we must always take care of our moms. And we must always take care of our wives who are the moms of our children. We need to provide for them. We need to take care of them. We need to make them feel special. We need to encourage them. We need to comfort them. We need to tell them at every opportunity, I love you. You're special, mom. You're special, honey. You're important. You're everything to this family, to this home, to my life, to the children's life. There is no one like you. We need to learn to express our love and our thanksgiving for our mothers and also for our wives because they're special. They're important. And it's our job, brothers, men, to watch over them, to take care of them, and to treat them like the queens that they are. You know, I remember like it was yesterday. I've shared this before, but I will share it once again. I remember like it was yesterday, the last words that I shared with my mom. And man, I always thank God that he gave me this last moment with my mom, because really, this is something that has carried me ever since she passed. Literally, my mom was laying on a bed, and she was very, very sick. She was about to die. We would say that she was at the final stages of her life. And at that moment, everybody stepped out, and it was just me and her. And I remember like it was yesterday, I grabbed her hand, and to the best of my ability at that time, I shared with her without breaking down, I love you, Mom. I love you. I love you with all my heart. That literally was the last words that I said to my mom, 25 years old, a young man who just was a mess at the time. You know, I'm losing my mom. She was everything to me. And that's all I was able to get out. But praise God, that's all I needed to say. I love you. I love you with all my heart. And I'll never forget, she responded with her weak, fragile voice, I know I love you too. And those were the last words I spoke to my mom. And you want to know something, fam? And I just say this with all honesty, I would literally give everything I had just to be able to tell my mom, I love you one more time. I would, in a heartbeat. Just to be able to hug her, to embrace her, and to share with her one last time, I love you. That is the greatest desire of my heart. I would give everything without thinking twice to be able to say, I love you to my mom. But you want to know something? I'm going to have to wait to do that. One day I'll do that. One day I'll see my mom. One day I'll be reunited with her in the presence of the Lord. And one day we're going to have all of eternity for me to express how much I love her and how much we love the Lord Jesus, more importantly. But I'm going to have to wait. That's where I'm at right now. It doesn't matter how much I pay or doesn't matter how much I want it. I have to wait because my mom, she's no longer here. I don't have the opportunity no more. But some of you, most of you, still have the opportunity because you still have your moms in your life. Many of us, we have our wives, the mother of our children. And listen, fam, we have to take advantage of the opportunity we have. And we need to tell our wives and our mothers how much we love them. Brothers, learn to express your affections and your emotions and your love to your wife and to your mom. Learn to say, I love you. Learn to say, I love you, honey. I love you, mom. Learn to call your mom. If you haven't called your mom for a long time, man, shame on you. Shame on you. Call her. Visit her. Take her out. Take your wife out, man. Protect, love, provide for your wife. Because there's nobody like mom. How many would say amen to that? There's nobody like mom. And so the first thing we see here is the care or the provision for Peter's mother-in-law. Notice now the restoration of Peter's mother-in-law. Now let's look at the first half of verse 31 here in Mark chapter 1. We read, and he came. Now remember, he is a reference to Jesus. And so we would say, and Jesus came and he took Peter's mother-in-law by the hand. And he lifted her up, and look at what we read, and the fever left her. And let's pause right there. And so the first thing we see is the care for Peter's mother-in-law, but now what we see is the restoration or the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. Mark tells us that Peter's mother-in-law had fever. Now, Luke, in his gospel, he's a doctor, he's a physician. And so Luke, and he does this a lot in his gospel, he gives us a little more detail And he actually tells us that it was a high fever that she had. And literally the words that he uses, it speaks of her body is on fire. She's on fire with fever. And so immediately the family goes to Jesus. And I believe Peter's leading the charge. He's the man of the house. He's the host. And so they go to Jesus. And immediately they bring this petition to Jesus. And really the idea there is, Jesus, have mercy on our mother-in-law. Heal her, Lord. Touch her, Lord. Do something, Lord. She is suffering and she's about to die. And so in verse 31, Mark describes Jesus' response. And Mark tells us that Jesus approached her, then he took her by the hand, and he lifted her up, and Mark tells us that immediately the fever left. In other words, Jesus healed her and restored her. We would say that Jesus gave her new strength, new energy, new desire, new life. He raised her up, and he completely restored her. She was laying down. And really the idea there is she's sick, she's suffering, she's tired, she's fragile. Maybe she might be close to death. And Jesus literally took her by the hand and he raised her up and he healed her and he restored her completely. And that's what we see here. We see a complete restoration by Jesus. A complete healing by the Lord. The healing of Peter's mother-in-law. Now, for this second point, this is the application. Possibly there are some here this afternoon who need to be restored and who need to be healed by Jesus. What do I mean by that? Simply this. Possibly today, this afternoon here in the sanctuary, there could be some who find themselves down right now in life. Maybe some who have a fever. Maybe not a physical fever, but maybe an emotional fever. Maybe a spiritual fever. Maybe a mental fever. Maybe there's some here today that you're feeling discouraged. You're feeling depressed. You're feeling overwhelmed. And you're feeling tired. Maybe there might be someone who you're at a point of giving up and throwing in the towel. Especially moms. Especially wives. You know, I have learned, not from experience, but just through the life and testimony of my mom and of my wife, I have learned that the work of a mom is difficult. Very, very hard. You know, at times, let's be honest, it's the women who suffer in the house. They suffer with the children. They suffer with the husbands. Sometimes they suffer with the mother-in-laws, the outlaws. At times, the women suffer. Like Peter's mother-in-law. Maybe this afternoon, there's a mom, there's a wife. You're suffering. But you're overwhelmed. Maybe you feel like you're just lying and you can't get up. Maybe you feel like you're drowning. And you can't save yourself. Maybe you feel like you're at a point where man, you just want to give up and you just want to get away. I guarantee you there's someone here this afternoon that maybe nobody knows but yourself, but you find yourself tired and overwhelmed. And listen, if that's you, this is what I want to share with you for this second point. In the same way that Jesus lifted up and healed and restored Peter's mother-in-law in the same way Jesus wants to lift you up. And Jesus wants to restore you, and Jesus wants to heal you, and Jesus wants to give you new strength, new strength. And really, you know, as I was preparing for this message, that was one of the key words that the Lord placed in my heart, new strength, that the Lord wants to give us new strength, fresh energy. That the Lord wants to pour into our lives new life, new life. That at times we feel overwhelmed. At times we want to throw in the towel. At times we want to give up. At times we want to just explode and we want to do our own thing. And at times, man, we're overwhelmed and we're tired and we're discouraged and we're depressed. And Jesus wants to give us new strength. Man, the Lord wants to help us. That's all I'm saying. He wants to help us. He wants to lift us up. Right now, you feel down. Right now, you feel depressed. Right now, you feel discouraged. And Jesus wants to take you by the hand, and he wants to lift you up. He wants to lift you up. He wants to strengthen your hands. He wants to help you. He wants to give you new strength. And that's what we need. We need new strength. We need strength from the Lord, from God. We need somebody greater than us to help us because, man, we're drowning. We're struggling. Things, for some of us, things are not okay. And most definitely, we pretend like they are, okay? We kind of put up the front. Things are great, but we know things are not okay. And Jesus came for those type of people. He came for the people who realize, I don't got this. I need him. I need God in my life. I need God in my marriage. I need God in my heart because, man, I'm struggling. My heart is empty. I have tried this, I've gone there, I've heard this, and I'm still empty. I need something great. I need someone greater who can come and who could lift me up and who can come and who can heal me and restore me and give me new strength. Well, listen, if that's you, that someone is Jesus Christ. And Jesus wants to give you new strength. Mom, wife, sister, Jesus wants to give you new strength. Brother, father, son, Jesus wants to give you new strength. Jesus wants to do that work in your life. Find your strength in him. Find your strength in the Lord. The Lord will help you. Call out to him. Cry out to him. Seek him. Seek God, seek the things of God. He will help. He's ready to fill you with his strength, with his peace, with his love. And we see that here. He goes to Peter's mother-in-law, and she's out. She's suffering. She's overwhelmed. She's sick. She's discouraged. She might be even depressed. Because this fever, and Jesus takes her by the hand, and he lifts her up, and he heals her. And this afternoon, I believe with all my heart, Jesus wants to take you by the hand, and he wants to lift you up, and he wants to strengthen you, and he wants to encourage you, and he wants to heal and restore you. We see the restoration of Peter's mother-in-law. Let's finish up. I have to end. Notice now verse 31, and we end with this. Notice now the service of Peter's mother-in-law. Notice we learn the care, the provision for her. We notice the healing, the restoration of her. And now notice her response to what Jesus did. I love this little detail. And he came and he took her by the hand, verse 31, and he lifted her up, and the fever left her. And look at what Mark says. And she began to what, fam? What's the word? Serve them. She began to serve them. After Jesus healed her, after Jesus restored her, after the fever left her, Mark tells us that immediately she gets up to her feet and she begins to serve the people. And really the idea there is her heart is filled with so much joy and so much gratitude for Jesus that all she wants to do is serve him. That's all she wants to do. Jesus healed her. Jesus saved her. Jesus gave her new strength and new energy. And all she wants to do is serve him. That's all she wants to do. And so she gets up and she begins to serve the Lord. Now I believe that this little detail, she began to serve them, I believe that's the reason why we find this story in the Gospels. I believe that that impacted Jesus. I believe that that touched Jesus' heart so much. It touched the disciples' hearts so much that the Holy Spirit honored Peter's mother-in-law. And he recorded her story in the Bible. All she wanted to do was serve. And listen, that's all we know about her. We don't know any other detail. We don't know how much she made. We don't know where she worked. We don't know what car she drove, or I would say what type of camel she rode. We don't know anything. All we know is that she was sick, she was dying, and the Lord restored her, the Lord lifted her up and healed her, and she began to serve Jesus. That's all we know. And listen to this, her service, her testimony impacted everyone to such a degree that the Holy Spirit put her story in the Bible because she impacted everyone by serving Jesus. Listen, and I am with this. In my opinion, there's nothing more powerful or impactful than a mom who serves Jesus. Nothing. Oh, a mother who serves Jesus in her home is a mother who impacts all of her family, her husband, her children, her loved ones. Oh, a mom who serves the Lord with all her heart, she is going to leave her mark on everyone. And you know what, fam? And I end with this. I don't know where Jonah's at, but he can come up. And that's the thing that impacted me most about my mom. The thing that impacted me most was that my mom served the Lord. And my mom loved the Lord with all her heart. And she was completely surrendered to him. And that, out of everything, that's what I remember most about my mom. That's what impacted me most. That's what made me the person I am today. Her love for Jesus. It wasn't where she went to school, or it wasn't how many degrees she obtained. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with that, but it wasn't those things. It wasn't her paycheck or how much she made or so much, what did she drive. It wasn't that, but it was her love for Jesus, her commitment to Jesus, her devotion to Jesus. It was her prayer. She was a woman of prayer. It was her instructions in the Word. She was a woman who loved the Scriptures. A woman filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the fruits of the Spirit. She was a woman who didn't fear anything, but man, she was bold for Jesus. And she was bold for the truth and for the gospel. And when I think of my mom, That's what I think about. That's what impacted me. That's what changed me. That's what God used to do a work in my life. It was her testimony. Like Peter's mother, it was her service to Jesus. And so really the exhortation is serve Jesus with everything and you're going to impact your family. Serve Jesus, man. Sisters, mothers, serve the Lord. Love the Lord. Be a godly woman. Brothers, be a godly man. Serve the Lord. Put Jesus first. Be all about Jesus. And what you're going to do is you're going to impact your children. Because this is what's going to happen. Your children are going to see your life. They're going to see your love for the Lord, your love for your wife, for your spouse, your love for them. They're going to see your integrity. They're going to see your faithfulness. They're going to see your kindness and your work ethic and your honesty, your love for God, your love for the things of God. Your children are going to see that and they're going to be like, man, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want to be like my dad. I want to be like my mom because, man, there's peace in my home. There's peace. My house is a refuge. I go at school and everything's crazy. I go amongst my friends at school. Man, everybody's cursing. Everybody's crazy. And everybody's doing their own thing. But I come home and it's a refuge. It's a sanctuary. I don't have to worry about anybody getting drunk. I don't have to worry about anybody beating up on anybody. I don't have to worry about cursing and parties and drugs because my family loved Jesus. And your children are going to see that. And they're going to be like, man, that's what I want. And they're going to be impacted by your love for Jesus. And I see that here. I see Peter. I see his family. They're impacted by this mother-in-law's service for Jesus. And so the exhortation is serve the Lord and you'll impact your family. I promise you. Because I was impacted by a mom who was simple in the world's eyes. She was humble. She was simple. She maybe was not as esteemed in the world's eye, but she loved Jesus and she left a powerful legacy. And the same will be true to you. Love Jesus, serve Jesus, and you're going to leave a legacy of one of serving the Lord. God bless you, brothers. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Would you stand with me? Lord, we're just so thankful for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony of Peter's mother-in-law. Thank you, Lord, from these few verses, Lord, we can learn so much and we can get so impacted. And I believe, Lord, tonight, this afternoon, I believe, Lord, you're knocking on hearts. I believe that there are some here that they haven't taken you home, Lord. Praise God that they're here and we rejoice that they're here. But Lord, I pray that you would show them that it's more. It's more than just a visit. It's more than a visit, even though it's a blessing, even though it's thankful, but a visit is not going to change anything. It's not going to change anything unless they leave with you, Lord. They're leaving back to the same life and the same problems and the same struggles. Praise God for visits, but Lord, you're looking for something more than visitors. You're looking for followers. You're looking for men and women who are going to take you home and allow you to be Lord of their hearts, but also of their homes. And so I pray, Lord, that you would touch hearts, touch lives, that you, Holy Spirit, even now, would do that work that only you can do. That even now, Lord, that you would lift us up, Lord. those who are feeling tired, those who are feeling discouraged, those who are tempted to give up and to give in, those who feel overwhelmed by the problems of life, by the trials of life, even now, Lord, I pray that you would lift them up and that you would strengthen them and that you would give them new strength and new energy, and that they would leave this place refreshed and renewed and ready to continue fighting the good fight. Help us, Lord. I am the first one to confess that I need you, Jesus. I don't have it all figured out. I have struggles. I have battles. I have weaknesses. I have hard, difficult days. And Lord, I need you. I need you so much, Lord. I need you to raise me up, Lord. I need you to give me strength, Lord. I need you to refresh my spirit and to strengthen my heart. Do that work, Lord, that only you can do. Touch hearts in the name of Jesus. Touch lives in the name of Jesus. Do that work, Lord. Do that work even now, because we need you, Lord. We need you so much. Brother, can you lead us in that song?